Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is Katrina Kirkendall. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for David Dean. I want to thank you for tuning in because you could have been spending your time doing something else. But thank you for tuning in with us tonight. Well, first of all, Merry Christmas! Countdown! You all know I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go straight into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you. I give you the honor and the praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you for sending your gift, Jesus, to sacrifice himself for our sins. I thank you for giving us the opportunity of repentance and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the guest that's coming on tonight and for the topic that we're about to discuss. I submit Katrina to you and I humble myself. I submit Katrina and decrease Katrina, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to rule, and just dominate, saturate, not just us as me and the speaker, but also those who it's intended to hear. I thank you for using me as your vessel, Lord. Thank you for the grace of forgiveness. Thank you for taking someone like me and using me as your vessel. And Lord, as we move forward today or this evening, I thank you for those who are designed to hear this again, because this is such a needed topic and a needed subject. I want you to please, Lord, watch over the speaker tonight and her family and all those who are affected by this. And it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So thank you for those who are coming in. I see you, Tress. I'll be hot balling it tonight, y'all. I'm getting my sugar in. But anyway, tonight is very special to me. Now, I will say this. I personally do not have a daughter, but I do have a son. You know, I do have a son, and I'm a single parent for the second. You know, I'm a single parent now. I'm a single parent now. When this topic came to me, it was something that was near and dear, mainly because it's someone that I've known for over 30 years. You know, you never know what somebody is going through until you start sharing your story. And I tell people, we are not alone. You are not alone in this thing called life. And sometimes we just have a tendency of keeping things to ourselves, you know. I don't know. I just felt a certain kind of way. But when you come out and you start sharing things, like putting things out there on the table. And I tell people, I don't mind being transparent because I want people to know that there are other people going through just like you. And as we move forward tonight, we're talking about having children and the absence of a father when it comes to having our children. Tonight, we're specifically going to go on daughters because I'm going to have another one. We talk about the boys. But we're going to specifically talk about daughters today because the truth of the matter is the core is still the same. It's just the gender is just a little different. And some things affect them the same, and then some things are a little different because of the gender of the child. My guest tonight is no stranger. She's actually been on the show before, but I don't think she did a Facebook Live on that one. And I wanted her to come back so we can have this serious discussion. You all know that I am real, and anyone that I bring on here, we're just real. So I am asking, you know, for those who are coming on, I'm looking forward. If you know someone who is a single parent that could use this, please invite them to come and share. Yes. Ms. Tressie, I love you. She's always sharing. You know, please share. So I would like to introduce the others, Ms. Jessica Edwards. How are you this evening, love?
Hi, love. I am doing absolutely beautiful. What about you?
I am good. I think I'm going, hey, I'm in that age where I'm having a personal moment.
I know the feeling all too well. I know it all too well.
Well, I got three questions for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Who you are, what do you do, and why do you love doing what you do?
Jessica Edwards. I work at MUSC. I'm going into my 31st year. I am a concierge in the at the waiting area at the Summy Children's Ambulatory Surgery in North Charleston. And I love it because I get the opportunity to help others. And along this journey, I get to minister to others because I come across so many people that are in my situation, some that are in it, mm-hmm. some that have been through it, and they're helping their children through it. And along with me being a testimony, sometimes they are a help to me as well. So I am grateful for the platform God put me in to be able to do that because it is, I call it a pandemic is what it is, mm-hmm. basically. And that's just putting it mildly, really. It is so, it ceases not to amaze me about how much of a problem this is all over. My prayer is that at some point that it gets better, that we get more mm-hmm. responsible, and that we learn to come together in spite of our differences for the welfare of our children because they need mom and dad in their life. And the only person that can truly make that happen and start shifting stuff is God. And so prayer changes things. And so I hope that for my situation, that women along the road don't have to continue to go through this. It starts with us making better decisions too, but also once we get into the situation that we're in, how we handle it is the key factor of us moving forward. We have to be able to move forward in a way in which it doesn't affect our children. You know, I try my level best to, in spite of me being a single parent to my daughter, is to allow her to not be affected by the situation. And sometimes that's not always easy, but I think thus far, with God's grace and mercy, I've done pretty good. So I'm going to continue to press forward.
Right there. Let me pause right there. When you say that you do not allow yourself to go certain places because that's her father, what do you mean by that?
I make sure that I'm not talking negative about him at all. No matter what the situation is going on, I just make sure that in spite of what he has done or said, that I make sure that I stay positive because I don't ever want down the road for her to say, well, my mama said this about you or that about you when you did this, so that's why I did this and I felt this way. Even though he's wrong in the cases, I don't say, oh, well, he's wrong for doing so. So, you know, sometimes you kind of shelter them by making an excuse because you don't want to badmouth them per se. Because as they get older and they get to know their parent, they'll form their own opinion. So I don't want to be that parent that would say to her, he ain't no good, he's wrong, don't deal with him. You know, I don't want that. I want her to have as healthy a relationship with him as she possibly can in spite of him not being in the household. And sometimes that's not always easy.
Exactly. Now, you touched on something I thought was going to bring up later, but I'm glad you bring it up now. And I just know, as women, we're very emotional creatures, okay?
Yes.
So I get exactly what you're saying. And one of the things I tell people is that we have to be careful of seeds that we plant. Because when you talk negatively, your child's father, you are planting seeds. The word says, honor thy father and thy the Lord, then thy days will be longer. You are hindering that growth. And if people don't really understand, and a lot of that comes from emotions, unresolved emotions that you have with the father. So sometimes women, and you know, have a tendency of making them pay for what they did to them through their child. And that's so not cool. And Jasmine said something. She said, great posture to remain positive towards the father. That is true. And one thing I'm very proud, not only do you not talk negative about them, but you do not allow those who are surrounded by their by your child to talk negative about them.
Exactly.
We cannot
We can't do that, because one very important factor that I would like for every woman under the sound of my tongue to tap into is that as women, no matter what we're going through, we are like a tea bag. We don't realize how strong we are until we get into hot water. So as we get into hot water in these situations, we definitely already have that mom mode on, that we're going to do whatever we can do to protect our child and or our children. And so in doing that, the key to that is you have, I learned through this whole situation, I used to hear all the time people say that forgiveness is not for the other person, that is for you. And I really and truly did not tap into what that really meant until this situation occurred. And really, to be honest, keep it real, I really am just kind of tapping into the forgiveness part of it and realizing how it has freed me up to look at things in a whole different light. You know, my daughter is now in ninth grade. And so I was just thinking this past week, I said, wow, she's in ninth grade, doing well. She has a few more years before she got out of school. I said, that gives me some of my time back. I'm going to be able to, like, do things, travel, and not have to worry about the everyday cares of her being in school and taking care of her. Now, I'm going to miss her, don't get me wrong, because I always say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my baby, go off and leave me and go to school. But I realize I have to let go, and she has to tap into her own in that, you know, state. But I think also what we another thing we have to realize is that when God closes a door for us in that situation of not being with that other half, it's not always a bad thing, because a lot of times we cannot get to our destiny. We can't get to our destiny if they're not the person that's going to be in the destiny with us. And so we hold ourselves back sometimes because we hold on to something that God is trying to release us from because of what God has for us to do. And I did not realize that until I went through this, because he has a lot for me to do that had we been together, it wouldn't have worked that way. And so I didn't look at it now as a bad situation anymore. I look at it as, and no offense to him or any other man out there, I'm not trying to make him look bad. I'm not trying to make any other man look bad, but I have to, in order for it to be deliverance in this situation, there is power, healing, and deliverance in the truth. And so in order for you to move forward in truth, you have to say it the way that it happened. And it has to be truly just straightforward the way that it went. And so when I look back at it, I'm really actually thankful now. That it happened in the manner in which it did. I thank God. I have respect for him because he is my child's father. He will, and through God and him, God, I got this gift that I will forever be grateful for. And so, therefore, I can't really be mad at that. And we have to realize that people are in our lives for a season, and we can't hold on to people who are not supposed to be there, because we got to respect ourselves enough to stand up and say, you know what, it didn't work. So, God, I'm going to trust you that whoever you have for me, that you will bring that person in my life. But I have to declutter all this clutter I have going on. And so when we realize and think in those terms and put him first, because there's nothing that you're ever going to be able to do putting God first that's going to beat that. You know, I put him first, and like I said in the prior segment, my prayer to God was for him to be in control of my life, for him to prepare me for whatever he had for me to do, but for him to send me the meat he had for me, for him to be a provider for me, but for him to also send the meat in my life that he had that would be a father figure to my child, but love her as her, his own child, but love me and accept me as Christ would. And so in doing that, you set a foundation up because you're telling God, I surrender myself, I put you first, and you're in the driver's seat. So we got to stay in prayer and put him first. We got to listen to his voice and be receptive to what he's telling us to do. A lot of times I sit back and I think, oh, no, I'm not doing that. That's outside of my box. But going outside of my box has kept me into living a better life than I had before. Yes, sometimes I do struggle. But for the mere fact that the example that I'm giving to my daughter is that as a woman, you have to stand up and you have to work hard for what you want. Your standard should be high as a woman. You should not settle for less. And you want to have everything that God has for you, but you got to be obedient to God in order to get it. And so when we do that and they see that, it gives them something to pattern after. And I'm so grateful that she sees that in me. And thankfully, she's very blessed because she has several really good male figures in her life that she can call on them at any time. They're not her dad, but if she needs them, they're there for her. She sees what the love is like, and so she has something to pattern after. But I think for the most part of it, we have to trust the process and the plan, and we have to take that time when something doesn't work to sit down and say, well, God, where do I go from here? And you have to trust the process and the plan because he's not going to lead you wrong at all. Putting him first is the key thing to do because once you do that, evaluate your circle. Sometimes you're going to have to cut family out. You're going to have to cut friends out because they're not a part of the process. And it doesn't have to be that you're angry with nobody about anything. It doesn't have to be that you can love them, but you have to move forward. And if they're not a part of that journey that you're going on, then they're going to be behind because you got to press forward. Because until you do your will that God has for you, there's nothing that's going to go right for you. You're going to always hit a dead end because you're not doing what he's telling you to do. And so we have to do that. And so in doing that, I always say to my daughter, you know, just make sure that whatever you do, you be respectful to your dad. I know she loves him. I want her to love him. She speaks something from him that she hadn't 100% gotten yet. But for the most part of it, they do have a relationship. So my prayer still is that as time goes on, that that relationship continue to grow. She is at the point where she's asking questions because she doesn't know anybody on his side of the family. And so, you know, that's another thing that affects her as well because I said, well, you have to go to him. And so in saying that as well, if there's families out there that they have – nieces or nephews out there for some, a brother, a sister, whoever it may be, and they don't have a relationship with that child, I would strongly suggest that whatever it is you need to do to get a relationship with that child, that you do it because the child is innocent. You can't always go by what the parents say because a lot of times they block the relationship with the child because of their own actions or what they have done. It doesn't have anything to do with the child. And so I feel that every child has a right to know their family, and they shouldn't have to ask or search for them. It should become. And so oftentimes it goes back to stop believing everything that's being said about the mother of the child because sometimes it is the mother and sometimes it really isn't the mother. Sometimes it's the action of that father that has – because if you have not – gone to that mother and say, hey, I would like to see her. I would like to have spent a day with her, and she not shut you down, then you cannot say that she won't allow you to see this child because you didn't put forth the effort to try to do so. But if you go to dad and say, well, I want to see him, and he said, well, no, she ain't going to let you, that's not the same as you interjecting into it. Now, I know that sometimes people don't really want to, like, go outside and do that. But I think sometimes it should be done because the children at some point want to know where they come from. You know, my daughter came across her dad's oldest brother is a very influential person, very, you know, have done and accomplished a lot in life. And she came across some information about him. And years ago, I don't know if you remember, they used to have a paper called The Chronicle. Her uncle was in The Chronicle. And so I clipped the article out and kept it because it had a picture of him and everything on it. And I kept it all these years. And so we were having a conversation, and I, you know, shared about him. And so I passed it on to her, and I gave it to her. And she went and she Googled his name. And when she Googled his name, she saw interviews that he did because he used to be an ambassador at one time over in another country. And so she Googled it, and she saw an interview, and she said to me, she said, well, you know, I want to meet him because he's older, and he might die before I get to meet him. And my heart just kind of went out to her. And so I said to her, I said, have a conversation with your dad. I said, that's what you're going to have to do. Everything that's concerning his family, I direct her to go straightly because it will never be said that I said anything positive or negative about the situation. I think that as women, we don't need to give up. We need to stay strong. We need to make sure that everything we can do to make sure that our children have the foundation that they need to succeed in life with or without a father is what we need to do. And God is still in control, and he will make ways out of no way. I'm a living witness of that.
Yes.
And as far as we're concerned, we do have to sometimes neglect ourselves to make sure that they're good, but we're never going to lose because, like I just said, she's in ninth grade, so she's almost, you know, out of the way from high school. She got to go to college. But then now I'm excited because God has brought me from carrying her, bringing her through all the elementary school, the middle school, and she's now in high school. So now I get to get back some of what I felt that I might have lost, but I really didn't lost kind of thing that I can do. And so I also will say sometimes as parents, we really and truly consume ourselves every day with stuff that just lingers with us. And so what I normally do to, like, revamp myself some is I take a day, and it's my day, and I go out, do what I need to do for me, just kind of pray, think about things, and sometimes I go to the Battery and just look over at the harbor and just pray and talk to God because it gives me such a peace to be able to do that. And I realized that once I start letting all that toxic go out of my system, that I started thinking differently, doing differently, and things started opening up for me. Because when you're angry, especially at the father because they're not there, you think all kind of things, you want to do all kind of things, and you don't want to pour it onto your kid. But what I have come to realize is that, and I don't mean this in a very, very mean way, when someone can walk out of your life, especially after years of being with them and dealing with them, then they weren't supposed to be there. And so they're not a part of your destiny at all. And so, therefore, when you come to that realization of that and focus on your children, you're always going to win. Because your heart is in the right place to move forward into your life to do what you need to do. And your children will see the sacrifice that you make and what you do. They will. My daughter, sometimes I think I'm talking to a grown person, because she sit down, some of the things that she say to me, I sit back and I'm saying to myself, like, this child ain't been here before. What, you know, but I'm glad that she is able to me, what she feels, how she's feeling, because we have the type of relationship that we talk about any and everything. And I always say to her, you can tell me anything. And so one of the key things that I've always done with her and will always do with her is that every morning I'm at work at 6, but when she gets up, whether she's in school or whether she's not, she calls me and we pray together. So now the school is out for the holiday. We still
yeah.
do it. Yeah, we still do it. But during school, she calls me, we pray together, and she catches the bus out here. And so every morning before she leaves to go out the door, she says the arm of God before she goes out. And then sometimes we pray mm-hmm. again. And so when you have, it doesn't matter if you have one child, doesn't matter if you have five, get into the routine of allowing your child at an early age to learn the love of Christ. Put him first, praying to him, trusting him, and just talking to him and telling him all about what they have going on. Because what I have realized with my daughter is that it helps. She has a calling on her life. So it really and truly sometimes scare me because she sees things and dreams things and God speaks things to her. And so she shared that with me. And so her journey is a little different, I think, because of the calling she has on her life, especially at her age. She's experiencing a whole lot of stuff that she's going through. And sometimes she needs her dad there for that. And he'll speak to her and talk to her about it and stuff, whatever. But for the most part of it, he's not in the household, so I have to deal with that on an everyday basis. So this is why I feel that in any situation that we have, that we have to learn to come together as parents and be there for our children. We don't need to disrespect one another at all, because what we're sending a message to is of negativity to our children, and we don't need to do that. So we have to really stay in prayer about it. And it's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that will change tomorrow at all. But I think that if we continue to keep the key, which is God, in the forefront, we'll be able to make it through. These years have gone by really fast. And the key about it with a mother is that she's there, and she gets to soak in all of that. But when they're not there, they miss out on so much. And so that's on them. But I still would say, do not be the reason that they're not there. Don't block them. Give them the opportunity to be. And if they don't do it, then it's not on you, it's on them. My dad always say to me when we have something concerning her, he'll say, well, why he not here? Why was he? I said he was invited,
right.
But the ball is in his court. I did my part. Once I did my part, then the rest is on him, because my thing to him always was, I will never allow you to be able to say to her that it was because of something I did or didn't do while you weren't there. You're going to get the invite. As a matter of fact, I don't only invite him. I say you and your family are welcome, because at this point, you know, why not? But when we don't do things in the right way, we can't sometimes go back and retract. And that's another thing that we really do have to be careful about. We have to really and truly be careful of, like you said earlier, the seeds that we sow, because one thing about a lie, that lie going to backfire on you, but the truth will always stand.
Every
so we
time.
Have to be very mindful of what we're saying, what we're doing, how we're saying it, how we're doing it. And I think that for the most part of it is that sometimes as women we feel we're shortchanged. And we have sometimes think that, oh, man, we lose so much. They're not there. This is who I want. But who we want may not be who God has for us. And so,
exactly.
Yes, sometimes we have children, and that child or children link us together forever, but it is very possible to have a healthy life without them in it. Your life don't end just because they walked and they leave you with a child or children. Sometimes that's the beginning of your life, because if they can't do any differently than what they did, that they have done, you don't need them there. And I know for sure you sometimes get blessed more so when they're not there, because of the fact that your focus is different. I think sometimes our focus is on them and not our children, and that doesn't need to be the case. Our focus should always be on our child or children and making sure that they're doing what needs to be done, because at the end of the day, your responsibility is to make sure that you raise your children up in the admonition of the Lord, and that they go out there and they don't do the same thing that you do. You know, that you want to make sure that they have every avenue that they need to go down to be successful in life, and that when they look back on it, the only thing they can say is that my mom did this for me to make sure I had this, and I'm appreciative of what my mom do. You know, my daughter is truly blessed by the foundation that she has. I really think that if my dad wasn't in her life, you know, she wouldn't really know truly what the love of a father is, in a sense. Mm-hmm. But because he's placed there, and even though he's granddaddy, you know, there's not a day that goes by that he doesn't call her and check on her to make sure her day is going well. When she's out of school, she's over there with them now, and she's going to be over there with them during this break. He makes sure that she has that foundation to know that she's loved and that she doesn't have to look for love in the wrong places, because sometimes that happens as well. And so I think one of the main key things that I would say is that you have to really realize that the key is in your hand to make sure that the doors that are unlocked are positive doors. And I would say to anyone that is going through or has gone through what I've gone through, and they're not on good terms with the father of their child, to just pray about it. Take them before the Lord. And definitely be specific in what it is that you want. Because a lot of times, we have to allow God to go in and change that situation. We can't do it. And if we're nasty with them, that's not helping the situation. That's really giving them more of an excuse to not be there. And so if you just stand back and pray about it and let God handle it, he definitely will turn the situation around. You know, when me and my daughter's father went through what we went through, he was not going to never be there and never see my daughter. And I asked him, I said, do you really think that that's how life is? You really feel that way? And he was like, yeah. I said, okay, well, you go ahead on, because what I do know is that when God is in the midst of something, changes happen. And so
every time
it happens. It really happens. So when she started asking for him, and I had to reach out to his brother, I really didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't expecting her to really ask for him, but her spirit was calling for him. And so he had no choice but to enter into. And I think in saying that, another thing I would also say is that as a woman, as being a single mother, even before I was a single mother, if there was a man out there that he had a child or children and he didn't interact in their life, they couldn't tell me anything, because I would not go along with them being in my life, in my child's life or children's life, and then they have their biological kids out there that they don't do right by. Because little do we know, I don't care what they say about the mother of that child. I don't care what they say about the child. I don't want nothing to do with her. I don't want nothing to do with the child, whatever. Believe me when I tell you, and you can take this to the bank, they think about the mother of the child, they think about the child, and they cannot live and be in peace and just, like, have a seed out there and they're not at all interacting with that seed or thinking about that seed. It doesn't work that way. Uh-huh. And I know that a lot of women want to believe that it's not the case. It doesn't happen. You better uh-huh. know if you feel that way, I'm sorry for you, because whether you know or you don't know, when they're not with you, sometimes even when they're with you, these uh-huh. are things that cross their mind. And I don't care if you have 1,000 kids for them. That does not take the place of that child that they have in their life. And so
that's right.
What I would say to you is, as a woman, I would really and truly stand my ground. And because you have no reason. If he's not
Jessica,
with
you. Say, huh? Jessica, say that. When you say stand your ground, what do you mean by that?
So a lot of women glorify in being with a man that he talked negatively uh-huh. about that other woman, and he don't have nothing to do with that child, and he talked about that child. And so why I say stand your ground, because as a real woman, as a mother, sometimes you're already a mother of a child when you get with them and mm-hmm. then you have kids with them, that I feel that if they love you and they really want to be with you, if you stand your ground and say to them, well, look, I cannot in good faith be with you and start a family with you or have you come in and be a father to my child, but you have a child out there that you don't have nothing to do with, because I don't – what is that saying about me as a woman? And then I –
exactly.
You know, I really and truly feel that if we start as women really saying to these men, well, you know what, let us all get together and have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be negatively. Everybody should have a church and they should have a pastor. And if they don't, there's plenty around where you live at. Go to the pastor and say, listen, I am involved with this man and he has a daughter or he has a son or he has children with this lady and we're together. And I would like for us to come together and speak and figure out a plan as to how we can parent effectively. Now, what I will say is this, but if they tell you that they don't want that, think about
right.
why would they not want to do that. And I'm going to say this, and I know that some people may not agree with it, but experience has taught me it's not always negatively that they do not really want to be a part of that child's life. Sometimes they still got feelings for that mother of that child, and they can't deal with it. And they don't want you to pick up on stuff, because women have a tendency of picking up on things. And so why I say that? Because if you have truly moved on with someone else and you have decided that I'm going to marry this person or I'm going to be with this person, whether they marry or not, but I want to be a part of my child's life, there's no reason why, in good faith, that you can't come together and speak about it and it not be this animosity going on with the father, with this mother. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So we got to sit back and we have to think about that. And I know that I had a conversation with a parent in my waiting area a couple weeks ago. He was a single dad and he met his wife, and then she was a single mom. They got together and then they had children together. And he said to uh-huh. me, he said he was married prior to getting married to this young lady. But he said what he uh-huh. did was, when they got a divorce, him and the first wife, he wound up getting custody of his son. But he said after he got custody of his son, what he did was he went to the mother and he told the mother, he said, listen, he said, I want to apologize to you if there's anything that I ever did to you through this process, during our marriage. He said, because when he left, he wanted to be able to, when he started into another relationship, to have a clean slate. And he didn't want to have to ever have to go back and apologize. And so sometimes these men don't ever apologize to women. And then they don't have a conversation with them or want to be dealing with them because of their guilt of not apologizing to them. And so when he said that, it just kind of like clicked with me about a whole lot of stuff that I have experienced and I've seen, because you have to apologize when you're wrong in a situation. You have to realize, because when you have a child or children with someone, I don't care what you do, you're forever linked. But you should always respect the mother of your child, especially when she's raising your child as a single parent and you're not doing all you can do to do it. Some people don't see that, but truly that's the key. And so we have to really and truly look at the picture as a whole. When we stop thinking that we're winning, because honestly, they're not always telling you the truth. And sometimes the women may not always tell it. But on the same notion of that is that the truth will always come out. And so if we would sit back and we would say, I am going to do the right thing for my child because I love my child. Even if we don't think we're wrong, apologize. I remember my daughter got confirmed a year ago, the same month right here. So I sent him a text inviting him and his family to come. And he didn't come. And she wanted him there. And she was hurt. And she shared some things with me. And so it bothered me of some of the things that she said. So I kind of like was back and forth about how I was going to handle it. And I said, you know what?
Right.
I said, I was careful because I didn't want him to use that as an excuse to not be there anymore than he already is. So I said, no, I'm not going to let this go. I said, I'm going to have to address him because she has every right to have him there at important events, just like the rest of you do. It's no reason. You have to explain to me why, because you're in this situation that you have this child, that you can't be there for the child. It shouldn't be an issue. So I sat down one day at my desk, and I sent him a text, and I just got off my chest what I was carrying and what I was feeling for the longest time, because part of it was what I said to him was, you're going to look back one day and regret everything that you've missed because of the decisions that you have made. I'm here with her, and I'm receiving all of this, but she loves you, and she wants you there. But what I'm going to say to you is I don't have to answer to God for your actions. I do have to answer for mine. So therefore, whether you come or whether you don't come, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to let you know. And what you do with that information, the rest is going to be on you. Because what I'm not going to do is consume myself.
Break right there. Yes, I set the room. So thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Bettina Carpenall. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. I am here tonight with my beautiful, beautiful guest, Miss Jessica Edwards, as we talk about this sensitive. I will say it is a sensitive topic, but it's a necessary discussion to be have. And this is so good. That's why I just let you go. Quite a few things that I just want to kind of piggyback on. One of them, as women, learn to remember it is about the child and not about you. And if we remember that and always child first, we're going to always be okay. We got to get out of it, ladies and men, but ladies, that once it's over, it's over, and deal with that.
Yes.
Okay? But nothing to do with that child that you all. Because the truth of the matter is, I agree with you, God, we're going to be held accountable for the seeds that we plant in those children, and then they're going to be held accountable because when they get older, and that's normally what happens, when they get older, they're going to realize, wait a minute, it wasn't really about my dad.
Right.
My mother was part of this. And as mothers, first of all, we're the ones that chose the father. Kids didn't. So when you talk negatively about your father, your son, child's father, think about why you were the one to pick them. Why are you talking so negatively about them? That is not cool. That is not cool. I'm sorry. It's not cool. Now, one thing I will say about me, you know, I always said, I'm not going to lie on you, but I'm not going to lie for you. One of the things I love that you have, I allow my son to get the opportunity to know his father in his way. So, and there are times when I got to let things happen that I know that will hurt him. And I'm telling you, we're mama bear, and I'm ready to, have at it. But sometimes I got to let it roll. I got to let it roll and just be there as a comfort and a support to let them know, you know, regardless of what he is, we just pray. You know, I would say let's just pray for him because, you know, he's at a stage in his life, you know, he might have went through some things in his childhood and it's coming out in his adulthood.
But when
it's all said and done, you know, as mothers, we're going to pick it up and we're going to keep it moving. We're going to make sure they do what they need to do. And it does feel like a disadvantage because when it's all said and done and you're trying to eat, I'll just leave them being sick, for example. When we're sick, we can't get sick. I mean, get sick, but we still got to keep it. You know, and the father, you know, I always said it must be nice to be a father or a parent when you feel like it. you made some very good points, and I do like the idea as parents, as mothers, we have to learn to take ourselves out of the equation, remember what's best for the child. Like I said earlier, when you are dealing with your children, you don't talk negatively about their father. Not only do you you don't out the surrounding support system. I am very picky. I am really big about that. Whatever's going on, I have nothing to do with my son. So you make sure you keep that opinion to yourself. Well, we had that conversation. Not a rep. Yeah, because the truth of the matter is we don't have to say anything about our kids, children's father.
No, you don't.
Father, they will tell it themselves. They are paying attention to you. So
they are paying attention. I think that for the most part of it, especially with girls, you know, like I said before, when we were growing up, our foundation was like so different because we had such a village. You know, I remember, you know, I had my dad, I had both granddaddies, I grew up with a little over a dozen male cousins, you know, I had my great uncles that were still living and extended family, and so we were surrounded with nothing but love. So these children today don't really have that, you know, because a lot of people have died out. But, you know, I'm really grateful because when I was faced with it, I was at first afraid and not really sure what in the world I was going to do. I was like, God, you got to help me because I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how. My biggest thing was I wanted to be the best mother to her that I could be. And so he blessed me that I do have a very good village. And I know for sure that she really and truly is a blessed child in spite of. But you still, nothing takes the, it's something about a father with a child that a mother or anybody else for that factor can't come in and take the place of. I think that as women, if we are faced with those types of situations that, you know, we just can't let it defeat us because these kids are depending on us. We have to keep going. Mm-hmm. And we have to do everything we can do to, like you said, be in that mama mode and shelter them and make sure that they get what they need. And some adversity is going to come with it. But I think for the most part of it, if we lay them a very good foundation to the best of our ability as we can, they definitely will be able to fly, you know, knowing that they have been taught and this is the stability I have, you know, and I think that my daughter, she's very careful of who she allow in her space because if her spirit don't agree with it, she'll say, my spirit don't agree with this person and so on. So, but she has one of my big brothers that I grew up with that she really and truly, like, is attached to him. And and he really do love her. He show her love. And I remember a few months ago, he was out of the country, and she wanted to share something with him, and she just wanted to hear his voice. And she kept saying to me, she said, I want to talk to him. And I said, he's busy. He's out of the country right now. I said, you know, when he get back in the country, you can talk to him. But she just was not letting up, and she wanted him. So I, without her knowing, I texted him, and I said, you know, when you get back in the country, I said, can you give her a call? Because she's saying that she just wants to hear your voice. So 3 days later, he called her. And she was so excited that he took the time to call her from another country, because all she wanted to do was to hear his voice. And he gave that to her, and at the end of his conversation, he told her that he loved her. And if she ever needed anything, that he was always there for her. And so as a parent, that gave me a comfort as well, because she don't have her biological dad there, but she has been blessed with some very strong men in her life that she has to fall back on. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of children don't have that. But I think that if we look at it and we say, now some people, you know, it takes a little bit of you really having to sit back and say, you know what, Lord, I'm definitely going to leave this in your hand. I ain't going to act toward nothing. I'm just going to let you do whatever, because if I get into this, it's going to be me doing it from the flesh. But I want the spirit to take control of this situation so that the shift can be made. And so in order for me to do that, then I got to stand back and let you do that. And it doesn't happen overnight sometimes. You have to really and truly let God take control of the situation. And whatever happens, as long as you're in the right. And that's another thing, ladies, make sure that whatever you do, that you're in the right behind it. Because if you're wrong, you can't say nothing, you can't do nothing, and you're not leaving much room for God to work. But if you're in the right and you're trusting him to work a situation out for you, then you're giving him time to work. He doesn't do it in our time, and he does it in his own time. And a lot of times, me reading my word has kept me through many tears. I always read a lot of scriptures every day, but Jeremiah 29:11 and Galatians 6:9 and Haggai 2:9 is some that I, along with Psalms, a bunch of Psalms that I do every day. But I also, because I have not been blessed with the voice to sing, I can't sing, but I love YouTube, because I go and I listen to, like, Be Encouraged by William Becton, and Somebody's Watching Over You by Yolanda Adams, and The Best for Last by Donna Lawrence. And definitely Pastor Sapp, he has his hands on you. And so anytime I'm going through something, I sit back and I just kind of, like, let those songs or those words minister to me, because once I do that, it will give me the opportunity to allow God to come in and definitely say, put your brakes on. I got this. You know, and he speaks to me.
Jessica, I said, I got to interject because we're running close. You know this will be another show.
Okay. Oh, Lord. Okay.
You poured out a lot of jewels tonight. I mean, but that's why I just let it go. I just let you flow. But those who are going through, what nuggets of wisdom can you provide for them? Because we have like 5 minutes. So what nuggets of wisdom would you be able to provide for someone who's going right now?
That no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what is said or done, that you go to God with the sincerity of your heart. Speak to him. Tell him what you want. But most of all, ask him to do the impossible in your life. Once you do that, you don't have to do anything else. He got it. But then you have to trust the process and the plan and wait on him. And don't worry about that father. Leave him to the Lord as well. Sometimes it looks like he's winning on the outside and you left. And you're like, got shortchanged. But the best is yet to come. You got to trust him. You don't see it in the beginning. You don't see it in the beginning, because I didn't see it in the beginning in my situation. But now I'm able to see my pathway a little bit clear. But it takes some time. It's not going to happen overnight. But you got to, like, I know you hate them in the beginning. You'll be like wanting to like really kill them, but don't do that. Trust God, because your kids need you to be here to raise them and to do it in the right way. Nobody will do for your child what you will do for them. But if you just hold on, the change will come. But put God first.
I agree. And I want to say take self-accountability. What role do I play in this? And make sure you check yourself first. You know, before you go, make sure you check yourself first, okay? And then once you check yourself first, you know, ask God to, you know, for me, I'm like, Lord, you know, do a work in me. Show me me. Show me me, and then help me, you know, get to a better me. Because the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter how I feel, that's still, I'm the one that made that decision. I'm the one of this, and as a result, this is what produced. I want him to have that. And I'm not going to hinder, you know, I want it to be my son's choice, you know, that child's choice. It needs to be them.
Right.
You do not influence or have, unless it's a positive influence when it comes to your child's father. You know, so I'm going to always say check first. Check you first and take emotions out of the situation and make sure it is about that child and the child and the child's father and their relationship. Now, I will say this part. You know, there are times when, you know, the disappointment comes and all we can do is be there. Please don't use that as an avenue to No. Just, you know, I learned that when I was angry and I was enraged and stuff, I had to learn to pray for that. I had to learn to pray for his the truth of the matter is, you know, nothing gonna come out if I have my way. But if I know I let his will be done, possible, you know, I'm just gonna let it be about then make sure that I'm the best mother I can be and always be supportive, because don't want your child to do what my mama didn't let me have no relationship, blah 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 blah. My children never say that to their mama. Never. So that's another thing I would just want to piggyback off of that as well. So, with that being said, you know, how is your, you say your daughter's in the ninth grade, so we have about a minute. Your daughter's in the ninth grade, and I, you know what, the fact that I commend you, I got to commend you, Jessica, because that could have been a totally different situation. And trust me when I tell you, and the struggle as a single mother, you know, always do everything and be there. And when you don't feel good, you still got to do what you got to do, because as mothers, we're going But I thank you for taking the time out to speak to the Corona Chronicles platform, because this is a serious situation. So we got these, we got kids out there. One thing my brother once told me, and I'm just going to share with other people, be careful who you choose to lay down with. Make sure there's a future, you know.
That is so true.
You get yourself caught up when people ask. You get yourself caught up, you know, so just make sure you know. Yeah, you get yourself caught up, and then you get upset because you don't And you didn't
Really do. So. You really do, but she's doing good. She's an A student and you know, doing very good in high school. And I try my level best just to make sure that I keep that link to God with her and myself. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that I can say that keeps us going. And like I said, we're not at the beginning. We're almost at the end of her getting out of school. And so that gives me something to really, like, look back and say, wow, you know, God, we really did this. You know, and so I definitely, I'm thankful. I'm very proud of her for her accomplishment and what she's doing. And even in the situation she's in, her expectations are high, so she just keep rising. And so, therefore, I know that this God is in the forefront. And so that goes back to what I said, evaluate your circle. Start with yourself and start shedding off anything that's not necessary to be there, because you don't want any blockage to keep you from experiencing what God has.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. I want to thank you, Jim, for coming on. I love you to life. And, you know, we're classmates.
Yes.
I want to thank those who are tuning in, whether live or you want to catch up, please know that I love you, but God loves you more. I want you to have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
I will talk to you
Thank
again.
Thank you and your family.
On New Year's Day, I'll be giving out the first, I'll do the first show New Year's Day, and I'm very excited about it and what God has
awesome.
Led on my heart to do.
Awesome.
As a person, we all go through struggles, and I am my own worst
yes.
critic. And so I'm very
yes.
important to me that I'm just doing his will. So with that being said, I once again, Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you and your family. And thank you. Thank you for the opportunity so much. And anytime you want me, just let me know.
You better know I will. So everyone,
have a good night too. Thank you. Bye-bye.